Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. And your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1003. Page 1003. We'll read just the second verse, and then we'll turn to another portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. We'll read the verse all together. And may we stand, please, for the reading of the Scripture. And let's read the second verse. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, page 1235 in your Schofield Reference Bible. 1, 2, 3, 5, we'll be reading the first six verses. We'll read the verses responsively. The text verse is the fifth verse. Moreover, brethren, we do to you wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. And let's pray. And God grant thy power and blessing upon this hour. We're thankful for thy word. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for our preacher. Bless now and help that even as we're here, that we might come away with what you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we come to that part of our week called Sunday morning sermon time. All of us need what will be said this morning. Many of us know we need it, and many of us do not know. But that does not in any way lessen the reality of the need. So I pray this morning you'd help us to listen carefully to what the Spirit saith to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to give me very good attention this morning and follow me carefully. I want to speak today on the subject, receive the gift of yourself. Receive the gift of yourself. I could call this sermon God's order of giving to his people. I could call this sermon, You Must Initiate What God Does For You. But I'm calling it, Receive the Gift of Yourself. It is a well-known fact, as is found in Newton's third law of motion. Action and reaction are always equal to each other. Action and reaction are always equal to each other. Now, to put it very plainly, in Bible language, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is a Bible truth, and it may be a truth, a scientific truth. But there is, in spiritual matters and in all matters pertaining to God, there is a law of getting back exactly what you sow. We're reminded of that many times in the Bible. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven unto you. In other words, there's that law again. You forgive, you get forgiven. Or how about this one? Judge not, that ye be not judged. There's the same law in relationship to giving, forgiving, and now judging. Or how about this? He that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You give, you get. You forgive, you get forgiven. You judge not, you don't get judged. You judge, you get judged. You confess, you get confessed. Or how about this? With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. It does not say that this is only about money. It's talking about every attribute and everything of life. With what measure ye meet, what does that mean? You give out. It shall be measured to you again. Same thing. Then how about this one? Cast thy bread upon the water, and it shall return after many days. Now I want to say this morning, and this is the crux of the message, so get this statement very carefully. We initiate what God does for us. How much God does for you is initiated by you. Heaven does not make holiness. Holiness makes heaven. Let me say that again. Heaven does not make holiness. Holiness makes heaven. Hiles Anderson College does not make a good atmosphere. A good atmosphere makes Hiles Anderson College. I'm saying that you initiate what God does for you. Once initiated, now follow me, once initiated, God gives us three things. Once initiated, you fellows and the sailors, look right at me now and listen to what I'm saying. This is church. I want you to hear me carefully. Everybody, listen carefully. You initiate what God does for you. It's up to you how much God does for you. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Person stands up and says, God sure has been good to me. You mark it down. He sure has been good to God. Person stands up and says, praise the Lord. God has blessed me immeasurably. Mark it down. That person's blessed God immeasurably. You never hear some old backslider, doesn't tithe, doesn't come to church but once every 3 or 4 weeks and smokes his cigarettes and drinks his liquor and uses dirty language and so forth. He never gets up and says, boy, thank God what God's done for me. No, God hasn't done much for you because you haven't done much for God. When I think about that, I always think about Dr. Bill Rice. I always do, and I've told you this. I love it. Dr. Bill Rice was a very, very outgoing kind of fellow. By the way, the most delightful personality I've ever met in all my life, in all of these years. I've never met anybody comparable to Dr. Bill Rice. Charming, delightful. I mean, just to be around him made you feel better. And Dr. Bill drove. He didn't like to fly. So he drove everywhere he could drive, and he had big cars, and he had a Thunderbird. Now then, they used to be big old cars. They used to be Thunderbirds. Now they're just sort of sprinkle birds, but not much to them. I shouldn't have said that. 45 folks here have got Thunderbirds. They're much better cars now than they ever were. But they're not as big as they used to be. There was a day when all the cars, you know, Thunderbirds, you had to have hinges on it to turn the corner. Great big long thing. And they were just real sporty. Dr. Bill had a Thunderbird. Well, he went to the barbershop one Saturday to get a haircut. Some of you fellas, if you see me after the service, I'll tell you what a barbershop is, what a haircut is. So he walked in. The place was full of people. And he had to wait for a while. One big old loud-mouthed fellow said, hey, look what the reverend drove up in. Hey, look at there. Got a big Thunderbird. Look at those boots he's got on. Look at that suit. Bet it cost $300. Look at there. Yeah. Yeah, he said, yeah. Look what what the reverend's got. He blabbed there for about 15 minutes, and Dr. Bill got up and said, yep, fella. He said, God has been very good to me. He said, say, fella, what's the devil done for you lately? Anytime anybody says, God's been good to me, mark it down, he's been good to God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, when we initiate this matter, God in turn responds. See, God is a reactor as far as what he gives us. He is a reactor to what we give to him. Now, there are three things. Now, follow this carefully because Daddy's never heard it exactly like this. There are three things that God gives us as we give to him. Number one, God gives us ourselves. God gives us ourselves. Now you say, well, how? What are you saying? I'm saying that God wants to give you yourself. Or he wants to give yourself to you. That sensuous person is not you. That's not you. God wants to give you the real you, which is a pure you. That selfish person is not you. God wants to give you the real you, who is unselfish. That cynical person is not you. God wants to give you the real you. That bitter person is not the real you. That's one reason why we ought not to be unkind to folks who are bitter. Because that's not the real them. We ought not to criticize them. Because that bitter person is not the real you. There is a loving you. There is a kind you. There is a gracious you. There is a pure you. There is a generous you. And God wants to give you yourself. That complaining person is not the real you. That critical person is not the real you. That rebellious teenager, that's not you. That wayward youth, that's not you. God did not make you to be wayward. God did not make you to be rebellious. God did not make you to be impure. God did not make you to be critical. God did not make you to be cynical. God did not make you to be selfish. God says, I've got the real you here. Now follow me carefully. He said, you give me you, I'll give you back you. You give me you, I'll give you back you. You give me the you you are, I'll give me the you you're meant to be. You give me you. And this morning, it's a law. If you forgive, you're forgiven. If you love, you're loved. If you're kind, you receive kindness. If you share, folks share with you. If you judge, folks judge you. If you judge not, folks judge not you. What God is saying, there's a law of reciprocation. And God is saying here, I want you to give you to me. And if you give you to me, I will give you back to you. And brother, you'll be shocked when you find what God does with you while he has you before he gives you you back. That's what he's saying here. Now that's the first thing God does. You give yourself. You give yourself. You give. That's all you have to give. You have nothing else to give. You give yourself. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. God says, come just like you are. I want you to give me you. And God says this law of reciprocation, you judge, you're judged. You don't judge, you're not judged. You forgive, you are forgiven. You love, you're loved. You give, and men give to you. God says this law of sowing and reaping. Now, I want you to get this. This is the foundation of what I'm going to say after a while. And what else God gives. But the first thing God does is God gives you you. Now listen to me, folks. Listen. That griping person that you are now, that's not you. You give that person to God, he'll give you the real you. That sensuous life you're living, that vulgar life you're living, that adulterous life you're living, that's not you. You give you to God and God will give you the real you. God wants to give you you. You say, Brother Howes, does that mean every time I love somebody, he'll love me back? I bet you girls wish that were true. You just pick one out on a campus and love him. No, that doesn't mean that. God means that he'll return love to you for love you give. Now, it may not come from the person that you love. That means if I woke up to Jack DeCoster and I said, Jack, I want to give you a $10 bill, he'll give me $10 million back. If that worked, I'd give him $40. No, that's not what God is saying. Look, now follow me. You may love and not yet love returned from the person you love. There are three ways that God does this. And boy, if you get this, it'll change your life. If you love, for example, either the person you love will love you back. That's the law of sowing and reaping, reciprocation. Or if the person you love does not love you back, God will give you other people to love you back. Or if no love comes back, God will give you more love for the fella that doesn't love you back. You understand what I mean? You give love, you get love. One of three ways. You give love, you get love. You give goodness, you get goodness. You give kindness, you get kindness. Either the person that you to whom you're kind is kind back to you, or God gives you other people to be kind to you in reciprocation, or God gives you more kindness. For example, here's a person that works with somebody who's impure. Here's a person who's trying to get a person living an impure life to be pure. Now let's suppose that person fails. I'll guarantee you, if he does not get purity from the impure one, I'll guarantee you, just the exercise of trying to make him pure will make you more pure. You understand what I'm saying? So, if you give purity, you get purity back. God gives you more. Let's suppose that Mr. O'Clair here, Brother O'Clair, Dr. O'Clair, Reverend O'Clair, let's suppose that he is mad at me. He wouldn't be because I sign his checks, but let's suppose, I don't really, but let's suppose he's mad at me. And suppose I'm kind to him. Now there are one of three ways I can get that law of sowing and reaping to get the kindness back. Either he is kind back to me, and he is. Nobody treats me any better than the Bible Claire does. He's kind back to me. But if he's not kind back to me, then God will see to it that Brother Sisson is extra kind to me. God, listen, you'll never be kind without getting kindness back. It's the law. You throw the ball against the wall, ball's going to come back. Throw the ball up on the roof, ball's going to come back. And you throw, listen, any grace of life is a boomerang. It's going to come back. So it may be that if I'm kind to Brother O'Clair, he'll be kind back to me, and that's the boomerang. It may be he will not be kind back to me. Maybe he'll be an ogre. But Mr. Sisson, God let Mr. Sisson be kind. But if nobody is kind to me, what happens? I'll be kinder because I tried to talk him into being kind. So I get kindness. Do you see what I'm saying? I get kindness. Would you want more kindness? Then you try to get others to be kind. If you fail, nevertheless, you'll still get more kindness from God. Do you want somebody to forgive? You try to talk somebody. You forgive, 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 forgive. If he doesn't forgive, God will give you more forgiveness. You want to get somebody tender and have a tender heart. And you say, you try to get to have a tender heart. If you fail to get them to have a tender heart, listen, 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 listen. God will give you a tender heart. I'm not preaching here, hear my head rattle. I'm trying to help you. And I'll guarantee you that there's a law of sowing and reaping. And just as sure as God be God, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, you reap critical spirit. You sow bitterness, you sow it, it's going to come back to you. Either you'll make the other person bitter, or you'll get more bitter because you tried to make him bitter. Either you'll make the other person make him impure, or you'll get more vulgar because you tried to get him vulgar. Nobody ever leads anyone into sin without becoming a hardened sinner himself. And nobody ever tries to lead anyone, succeeding or not, tries to lead anyone to righteousness without getting more righteous himself. It's a law of God. It's God's divine law. You try to talk somebody into loving God. Tell them how good he is. If they don't start loving God, you'll love him more because you tried to get them to love him. Don't you see what I'm saying? Oh, you say, they got all these books everywhere. How to be happy, 15 ways to be happy, 17 ways to have peace of mind. Put them all in a stack and burn them and just start living for somebody else. That's the whole story. That's the whole story. Oh, good night. You try to make others kind, and if you fail, God will give you more kindness.
You try to make others pure, even if you fail, God will give you more purity. You try to make others decent, even if you fail, God will give you more decency. Try to make others generous, if you fail, God will give you more generosity. For every time you try to persuade somebody else, you are being used of God to persuade yourself. Now, I said, you initiate that. If you want to be forgiven, you forgive. If you want to be loved, you love. If you want to be gracious, you're gracious. First, God gives us ourselves. You follow me? God gives us ourselves. He says, but by the way, God will not give you yourself till you've given yourself to God. You don't give, you don't receive. You don't love, you don't get love. And God, that's where these people believe that God has chosen some to go to heaven and some go to hell, are so full of prunes. God does not initiate salvation. God initiated and completed the plan of salvation, but you have to initiate salvation. Every other grace that God has, you initiate it, and once you initiate it, you get it back. But God, listen, you'll never be the you that is the real you until you give the present you to God. Now, number two. Once God gives us ourselves, number two, then God gives us Himself. Now, follow me very, very carefully here. God cannot give you Himself until God gives you yourself. He can only give you Himself when He has given you yourself, because only your real self will want Himself. You understand that? God says, I want to give you myself, but God will not give Himself to you till you've given yourself to Him, so God can give you yourself. And once God has given you yourself, a new man, a new creature, a new nature, a new appetite, a new desire. See, your new self wants Himself. But your present self does not want Himself. So you will not want Himself till He has given you yourself. And when He's given you yourself, that self has an appetite for Himself. Oh, I want to know Him. I mean that. I want to know Him. God knows I do. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I'm so sick and tired of shallow Christianity. I'm so sick and tired of living on the earth. I'm so sick and tired of living for the earthy. I'm so sick and tired of living like men live and like beasts live and like animals live. Why don't somebody rise above the earth and want to live with Him and like Him? Oh, my soul hungers today. My soul hungers today to know Him. And my soul hungers today for you to know Him. And once you know Him, you won't be concerned with the trivial things down here so much. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strange to Him in the light of His glory and grace. And there's nothing wrong with our fundamental churches that couldn't be cured by a generation of believers who want to know Him. But you won't want to know Him until you get you. He must give you yourself. Because the self ungiven to Him does not want Him. But once you give yourself to Him, He in turn takes yourself. And as is the case of every gift, you give, you receive. You give, you receive. You give, you receive. You give, you receive. You get love, give love, you receive love. You get forgiveness, you receive forgiveness. You get judgment, you receive judgment. You get judging not, give judging not. You get judging not. God says, I want to give you me. But you won't want me till you have you. Oh, I wish I could grab everybody by the shoulders and shake and say, listen to me right now. Listen to me right now. God wants you to have Him. But you don't want Him till He gives you you. Because the you that you have now cares not about Him. The you that you have now doesn't want to pray. That's why you don't pray. You've never given your whole life to God. And until you decide to give your life to Him, He will never give you you back. that you have yourself given from God. You will not have an appetite by which you can receive Himself. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. You hear that? I want to know Him. But I must have myself. I must have myself in order to want Him. He said again, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. But I must have myself before I can want to know Him. And I cannot have myself till I give myself. All on the altar, dear Jesus. Master, I hear Thy call. Somewhere I know Thou canst use me. I must surrender my all. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and find peace in sweet rest when you give Him your body and soul. You say, I want peace. Give it. I want joy. Give it. I want life. Give it. I want satisfaction. Give it. You'll not get it till you give it. That's one reason why I think you're wasting your time hanging around these bookstores so much. Trying to find a bunch of books that will tell you how to get something for yourself. Forget what you have. Forget who you are. Forget how you feel. You live your life trying to help somebody else. I'll tell you, don't you let hell or high water keep you from it. Don't you let anything get your mind or your eyes off of this. People need help. I've got to give myself. I've got to give myself. For Jesus says, if you give yourself, you'll find yourself. Why? Because when you give your all to God, Jesus says, I got something for you. What is it, Jesus? I want to give you your real self. Give me that bitter self, I'll give you a loving self. Give me that unkind self, I'll give you a kind self. Give me that hating self, I'll give you a gracious self. Give me that selfish self, I'll give you an unselfish self. Let me give you you. And then when I give you you, that new you is going to want me. And that new you says, oh, Jesus, I want you. And Jesus said, I'm glad I got you in the shape where I want you. You want me now? Because I'll give you me. When I first became pastor here 27 years ago, the first thing I had to do was create an appetite for my preaching. Folks didn't like all this hollering and screaming. Even the folks that voted for me didn't like it. Some of them still don't. But there's no choice in the matter. If you don't know very much, you've got to holler it. But I had to create an appetite for my preaching. I had to change your liker so you could like my preaching. And that's what God does. But hey, do you know how I changed your liker? You gave yourself to me. Now I'm going to say something I've never said, and I probably shouldn't say it now. I'm going to say it. It may have been a good thing that 27 years ago we had to go through the valley here. It may have been a good thing that you had to stand for your preacher 27 years ago. Because in so doing, you gave yourself to me. And when you gave yourself to me, then I could give you what your new self given to me would enjoy. And all of a sudden, when you gave yourself to me, you began to like my preaching. I wasn't a loudmouth fellow anymore. I was a zealous fellow. I wasn't wild and woolly. I was excited. I wasn't harebrained. I was dynamic. Same preaching. What happened? Not same you. Well, where did you change? You gave yourself to me and I gave yourself back to you. And while I had you, I put in you a lack for my preaching. And that's what God does. God says, I want you to have me. I'm so desirable. You say, big deal. What's the desire about praying? Big deal. Hadn't even got any pictures in the book. Big deal. No comics. Big deal. God says, it'll be a big deal if you'll give yourself to me. If you'll give yourself to me, I'll give yourself back to you. And then the new self, the self I give back to you, will be your real self. And don't forget, your real self was created in the image of God for fellowship with God. Your real self was made to the praise of His glory. And when you come to God and say, God, I give you my old tattered garments, He gives you back a robe of pure white. And with that robe of pure white, He gives you back. When He gives you back yourself, that self He gives you has a hunger and thirst for Him. And God comes along and gives you Himself. And that leads us to our third gift that God gives. Once God, you start it, you give yourself to God, God gives you yourself, then God gives you Himself, and thirdly, God gives you His gifts. Now, wait a minute. You know why God doesn't give you His gifts before He gives you Himself? Because God wants to enjoy His gifts with you. Now you know what you really want. The self you have there, listen, do you know that the average person in this world doesn't know what he wants? He hasn't grown yet from the baby that unwraps the box and finds the doll and throws the doll away and plays with the box. And 90% of the people in this room are still at that stage in your life. I want it! I want it! I want it! Listen, there is nothing in this world so empty as getting what you want. I don't care if it's something good. Don't care if it's revenge. Don't care if it's a car. Don't care what it is. What you want. You folks not listening. You need this too. You're not above this. No, you're not. You need what I'm talking about. God says, "Let me have you. Give yourself to me." And as soon as you give yourself to God, the law of reciprocation and sowing and reaping takes effect, and God gives you yourself back, and then you have yourself, and in yourself you want Himself, and God gives you Himself. And then when God gives you Himself, then God gives you gifts. You know what the loneliest person in the world is? It's a golfer that shoots a hole in one, playing by himself. Who's going to believe it? Hey, Joe, guess what I did? What? Shot a hole in one. Yeah, I shot a hole in a half. You want to share it with somebody. But gifts that God has to give, ladies and gentlemen, are only gifts that you can enjoy to its fullest when God shares them with you. God wants to enjoy them with you. He's waiting for you to give yourself. It's all up to you. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. It's up to you. You can have God's gifts, but not till you get Him. You can have Him, but not till you get yourself, because you won't want Him till you get yourself. Look. Did you know that you can talk to God anytime you want to? But did you know that 95% of you have not talked to Him this morning? Why didn't you? You don't want to. Why don't you want to? Because you got yourself. You've never given. When you give you Himself. I thank God this morning. I'll close with this. I thank God this morning that when I was a little tank of a boy, just a runt, I thank God that I gave Him all I had. I didn't have much to give. Nobody in the church thought I'd ever be a preacher. Nobody in the neighborhood even took me seriously. On my 17th birthday, I weighed 92 pounds. I can remember kneeling on what we called the front step. It was a cross tie in front of our little place. I can recall kneeling there. And I said, "Dear God, I can't give you what Joe Boyd can give you. He was the All-American football player, lived two blocks from me. Now an evangelist, I can't give you what Joe Boyd can give you. I can't give you a big body like Joe Boyd. I can't give you a strong body like Joe Boyd. I can't give you a handsome face like Joe Boyd or a fair countenance like Joe Boyd. I can't do that." But I said, "Dear God, there's one thing I can give as much as Joe Boyd, and something I can give that Joe Boyd can't give. I said, "Dear God, Joe Boyd can't give you Jack Hiles, and I can." And I said, "Number two, Joe Boyd cannot give you any more of Joe Boyd than Jack Hiles can give you of Jack Hiles." And I mean this, and I'm not bragging, and I don't care if you like it or not. Call me a Pharisee. I don't care. It's true. As best I knew how, as a little lad, I said, "Dear God, you can have it all." And I've not been perfect, but I'll guarantee you one thing. Anything that Jack Hiles is not because of what he was. It's because of what God gave him back. He gave me myself. We're talking one day together, Joe Boyd, Bill Harvey, and a bunch of us. We're talking about what we would have been if God hadn't called us to preach. Joe Boyd said, "I'd have been an All-American football player." He was chosen the first round draft for the Washington Redskins. And then he turned that down, decided to become an accountant, and was about to become a CPA, and he was the head accountant for Todd Galveston Dry Docks in Houston. He said, "I would have been probably a professional football player and then a CPA. Somebody said, "I know what Bill Harvey would have been. Bill Harvey would have been a performer on television or in Hollywood, not a more humorous man or a gifted man in the world than Bill Harvey." Everybody talked about what they would have been, but nobody mentioned me. Somebody said, "I wonder what Jack would have been if he hadn't been a preacher." And nobody said a word. And finally, Bill Harvey grinned and said, "I know. He'd have been the next Jimmy Hoffa." I don't think he's right. But I think they were right when they didn't know what to say. Thank God I gave it to him. And he gave me me. When he gave me, he gave me himself. When he gave me himself, he gave me gifts that he and I could enjoy together. Give yourself to him. Give yourself to him. You say, "Not much." He didn't ask for much. He asked for all of you, that's all. And once you come and say, "Dear God, here I am. I'm not much, but I give you all I am." The law of sowing and reaping takes effect. The law of reciprocity takes effect. And you give, and it's given to you. What do you give? You give yourself. What does God give? He gives you yourself, the real you. And that real you wants him. And that gift of himself is followed by his precious gifts that you and he can enjoy together. It all starts when you give yourself. Now, if you're not saved, you can't give yourself. You don't get saved by giving yourself. You get saved by receiving his gift. You don't get saved by giving anything. You receive his gift. He offers you his gift of eternal life. You take that gift this morning. He'll give you eternal life. And then immediately he'll start pleading with you, "Give me yourself. Let me have you. And once you give me you, I'll give you back you. The real you." That's why we shouldn't hate anybody. Because the things we hate about people are not the real them. That's why we shouldn't criticize people. Because the thing that we criticize is not the real person. The real person is given by God in response to our giving ourselves to him. And that person wants him, and so he gives us himself. And then he gives us gifts that we can share together. Father, bless the message.